Your Highnesses, Your Excellencies, esteemed participants, Minister Mohamed Gaghawi, Chairman of the World Government Summit. It's a great pleasure to be here and to congratulate you, Minister. It's the 10th anniversary, and the World Economic Forum is very proud to have been a founding partner of this event. Ladies and gentlemen, today people may ask, what is the purpose of such events? In a fragmented world, to come together, to reflect about the future, to see the new developments which you, Minister, described so well, is absolutely essential. There are some people who claim we are now in a deglobalizing world. But actually, I would say we have to re-globalize this world. We have to make sure that we strengthen cooperation because, as it was mentioned, we are faced with issues which are of existential importance for humankind. Our common future is at stake. When we finished our annual meeting in Davos just 3 weeks ago, there was a lot of discussion about what some people call the capability of humankind to cope with so many challenges at the same time. There was a world of multi-crisis. But actually, we are not in a world of multi-crisis. We are in a world where simultaneously we are caught in deep, systematic transformation processes. There's a difference between a crisis and a transformation. If you manage a crisis, you want to come back to the original point as fast as possible. You want to correct the situation. But in a transformational situation, you have to manage change to come out at the end of the transformation in a better situation compared to the beginning. The world at the moment, as I just mentioned, faces many of those transformational processes, systemic processes, structural changes. I just want to mention three. The first, of course, is the economic transformation, with two main catalytic factors and forces, the energy transformation. Just imagine, in 2050, the world will have the double of its present GDP, even if we grow with only 3% per year. It will have 10 billion of inhabitants, but it still needs energy. And we have at the same time to reach the objectives of the Paris Agreement to decarbonize, to reach zero carbon emissions, or net zero, as it is called. But it's not just this transformation, this energy transformation, which will cost, the estimates are $3 trillion a year. It's not only the only factor being pushing this economic transformation. I think we should not underestimate the big reshaping of global supply chains which is just happening now. Now, the political transformation. Minister, you mentioned it. We are moving from a world more or less dominated by one superpower into a patchwork of multi-power world, of a multi-power world, with one superpower, one competing superpower, aspiring superpowers like India, middle powers, but also rogue states, companies who have become global powers, technology companies, social media. So we will move in a very fragmented world, and hopefully not too fractured world, where we have to make sure that the rule of law is not trampled with the feet, but where we maintain the necessary framework for global cooperation. And I see Dr. Ngozi, who at least in the trade field tries so hard to maintain a global rules-based order. The third transformation which we have to face is what you just mentioned, Minister. I wrote in 2015 the book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, and I mentioned 23 or 24 technologies which will change the world, like crypto and so on and so on. The book was considered science fiction. All those technologies have become reality, and there are new technologies. And I would say we are in the second minute, or whatever we want to call, we are at the beginning. When you look at it, at technology transformation, it usually takes place in the terms of an S-curve. And we are just now where we move into the exponential phase. And I agree, artificial intelligence, but not only artificial intelligence, but also the metaverse, near space technologies, and I could go on, synthetic biology. Our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, very much affected, and who masters those technologies in some way will be the master of the world. Now, what does it mean for governments and for government officials? Four things. First, since we speak about the transformation process, we have to be ambitious in our thinking. How do we want to come out at the end of this transformation process? And we have to seize the opportunities, because we, through joint efforts, we could really make this world a better place by using the capabilities we have. So ambition is very important. Believing into the positive force of those transformational changes. The second advice is to have the speed. You cannot catch up with the new technologies. You have to be a front runner, because otherwise you will be on the losing outside. Adaptability is the next factor. And adaptability requires permanent upskilling and reskilling. And the last factor I want to mention is resilience, the capability to bounce back, because there will be certainly what we call the black swans, the unpleasant surprises which will come in our way. So, Minister, dear participants, I wish you a very good meeting. And just as a last point, I want to say the most important factor to master the future is leadership. And for me, I have my own definition. Leadership comprises five dimensions: soul, brain, heart, muscles, and good nerves. Let me explain. Soul stands for purpose, for ambition. Brains, for professionalism, for permanently upgrading your capabilities. Heart, for passion. We have to be passionate about what we are doing, otherwise we will fail. Muscles, for the capability to translate our vision into action, into impact. And good nerves, to have the resilience to withstand also difficult situations. So I wish you soul, brain, heart, muscles, and good nerves. Thank you.
Professor, a couple of weeks ago in Davos, you met almost all global leaders, government, private sector. What's your takeaway from the meeting this year?
I have seen participants enormously engaged in all the different task forces which we have organized, catalyzed, which we create. And I think if we look at the future, what is absolutely essential is this cooperation of the different stakeholders of global society. Governments bring the directive power. Business brings the innovative power. Civil society brings the concern power. Academia brings the power of truth. And maybe I should add media, which brings the critical dimension in this dialogue. And we need all those stakeholders to shape together the future.
Thank you. You invented and you wrote the fourth industrial revolution. What is next? What is next after the fourth industrial revolution? Where your mind take you?
I think the fourth revolution, industrial revolution, will be in our mind for quite some years to come. But what is very essential, my concern, my deep concern, is that those technologies, if we do not work together on a global scale, if we do not formulate, shape together the necessary policies, they will escape our power to master those technologies. Because artificial intelligence, it's relatively easy, let's say, to understand how a computer functions. Of course, if I go back to the first industrial revolution, how a steam engine functions. But how does really quantum computing function? How does artificial intelligence, particularly if it's self-replicating, functions? So one of my concerns is how to shape the necessary policies to make sure that those technologies serve humankind. But the second concern which I have, and where governments have an important role, the change goes so fast in our world, and will go even faster. How can we make sure that the individual, each citizen, doesn't feel overwhelmed by change because he cannot understand really what's going on? And if we do not understand, we become fearful and we react negatively, and we see the first consequences already in many countries with polarization of the public opinion. It has to do with some feeling that we lose control over our own fate. And here I think governments have an important role to explain and to have the ambition and the vision to show that those technologies can serve for the good and are not per se evil.
Finally, thank you, Professor Klaus Schwab, for being with us here. And on behalf of everybody in this summit and the team, thank you for your support for the past 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you.